Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Do you know what a mulligan is, Victoria?
Yeah.
Right? I need a do-over.
Okay.
Right? If you're a golfer and you, some people accept mulligans, you get maybe one mulligan aside or one, maybe you get a breakfast ball, meaning you can go two off the first tee. Well, I need one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. So it would have been a great story had Scott Norwood in 1991 lined up for a 44-yard field goal with 1:47 remaining to tie the game against the Giants in Super Bowl 25, because Tyler Bass lined up for a 44-yard field goal with 1:47 left in the game last night to tie the Kansas City Chiefs. But in fact, the Scott Norwood lined up for a 47-yard field goal with 7 seconds left to tie the Giants. So,
yeah, you were off just a wee bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
And my mistake was doing a search for Scott Norwood wide right, and the story below it is about Tyler Bass.
Of course.
My fault.
Yeah.
I'm the dumbass. So
it's a Monday. So.
No excuse. No excuse. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, is joining us, Pick Six podcast moderator. All right, let's get right to it. Is it fair, as great a game as he had, is it fair to lay that loss at the feet of Josh Allen?
I probably wouldn't. You can certainly find some blame with Josh Allen, but I don't think he's the number one guy I'm blaming. Tyler Bass isn't the number one guy I'm blaming either.
So let me explain why. The whole point of that last drive was to drain the clock, right? That's why they allowed the clock to run down to the 2-minute warning.
The whole point should have been to score a touchdown and leave no time remaining on the clock.
Right. But it was, to me, that was the plan, to score a touchdown and leave Patrick Mahomes with zero.
Right, because 13 seconds is too much.
We've already been down that road.
Yes.
So with two guys open underneath on 2nd and 9 on the first play out of the 2-minute warning, knowing that at that particular moment, you could argue that a first down is more important than a touchdown, why didn't Josh accept the gift that he was given instead of throwing the ball into the end zone?
I think he had Khalil Shakir coming around on the backside of the end zone.
Sort of.
He got pressured. Chris Jones got in his face. You know, I think what the if I'm pinning anything on that last drive, I'm sort of looking at the holistic approach that I think the Bills take that's been maybe you can sort of point to it as maybe like a larger theme for what the Bills issues are, which is they got that first down with 2:43 remaining.
Mm-hmm.
They had first and 10
at the 27.
At the Chiefs 27, and they scored 0 points.
Mm-hmm. But they missed.
That's a problem.
Right. They missed that field goal. Right.
I think what happened with, you get the ball that's 1st and 10 of the Chiefs 27, you're kicking a 44 or 46 yard field goal, whatever it was. Like, that's a problem. And I think, but that points to coaching. Like, I don't put that on Josh Allen. I point that on Sean McDermott and the way that they decided to, they're like, all right, let's not, like, basically they wanted to lay up while also, like, you know, it was like, all right, let's lay up short of the water and just give ourselves a nice 8-iron in. It's like, no, you have Josh Allen. Go score a touchdown.
Right.
You can't, like, even if you make the field goal with a minute 43 left on the clock.
They were losing the game anyway. They were going to lose the game.
Right.
Which is why I get back to this. That's why I think the first down was more important than the touchdown. That if you pick up the first down right there, and you've got a new set of downs. The Chiefs only had two timeouts because they wasted one on the previous possession, right? On the bogus defensive pass interference call in Buffalo, which ultimately didn't hurt them. But if you pick up the first down, I mean, it only cost them time. It cost them three more downs, which I guess is significant, but maybe not. If you pick up the first down, if you throw it underneath to Diggs, of course, Stephon Diggs might have dropped it, but that's another story altogether. If you throw it underneath to Diggs and you pick up the first down, now you're at about the 15, and Kansas City's got to call their timeouts, and you have the opportunity.
No, it's totally botched. But I think there's a chance that Josh Allen felt like his coaching staff was playing for the field goal, and he wanted to get a touchdown to try to win the game.
All right, so it's about a decision. But don't they speak?
That's my whole point is I think that right now that there's some – I think that you saw it this offseason. I think you saw it throughout the season. And, there was that controversial stuff about during the bye week that came out from Ty Dunn, and they sort of kind of – It sort of rallied the troops, and they played great down the stretch, and then they made this run, and then you had the same spot, losing to Patrick Mahomes late in a great game on Sunday night on CBS. I mean, time is a flat circle for the Buffalo Bills, and I just wonder how long they will keep doing this before they say, we have this quarterback in Josh Allen who is – like Sean McDermott's done a great job of getting this team – elevating the floor for this team and putting this team in a spot where they're competitive they're highly competitive year in and year out. But have they hit their ceiling under Sean McDermott? And is there a point in time where, didn't the Bulls have to go out and get Phil Jackson in order to beat the Pistons?
Are you calling Sean McDermott Doug Collins? Or
sort of, yeah. Right,
or are you calling Sean McDermott Dan Reeves, who had John Elway early in his career, and they needed Mike Shanahan to eventually win those two Super Bowls.
Maybe I'm calling Jim Harbaugh Phil Jackson. I'm serious. This coaching cycle, if you're the Buffalo Bills, now we've seen Gerard Mayo and Antonio Pierce hired by the Patriots and the Raiders, respectively. Bill Belichick and Jim Harbaugh are still out there. There are a lot of good coaching candidates, a guy like Dan Quinn who's been to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying you fire Sean McDermott to go get Dan Quinn.
I would not do that.
I think Dan Quinn's had more success in the postseason. I would fire Sean McDermott. I would move on from Sean McDermott to go get Jim Harbaugh and just win a Super Bowl with Josh Allen. I think that would happen within 3 years.
I would too. And Bill Belichick would be, I think, an interesting choice for Buffalo as
Belichick
well.
Belichick would love to work in the AFC East and destroy the Patriots multiple times per year.
And he would still get a chance to beat the Jets every year.
He was going to be the Jets with Josh Allen, Jets and Patriots with Josh Allen twice a year. I mean, you bring in it was rumored to have. They're talking about. I've drawn a blank. There was somebody that was rumored to be like Belichick might hire him as OC. It's like, are they going to unleash everything now?
Josh McDaniels is still out there. I mean, he could always reunite with Josh McDaniels, although whatever. I think that once the play call comes in and the ball is snapped, all the decisions come from the quarterback, and I thought that was a choice.
Well, we just don't know. We don't know what it. We don't know. I mean, you have to go back and look, and then actually ask the players and ask the coaches, like, what were his read? You know,
right?
Which read was first? You know, what were they trying to get it to the end zone? You got pressured, so that makes it a whole different ball game.
But it doesn't fit my narrative, Will. If I have to blame somebody not named Tyler Bass.
I think ultimately, Adam, that this was a game similar to the Lions and the Rams game from last weekend in which it was a really, really good football game.
Yeah.
There were two teams and two quarterbacks who played pretty awesome football. There were a couple of key moments that were going to swing this game, and it's easy to focus in on those because everything else felt like it was operated pretty pristinely. You had the fumble from Mecole Hardman. DeMar Hamlin fake punt, and then the sort of the clock management there at the end by the Bills. I think that's the stuff that you focus in on the same way, like Sean McVay's clock management, Like one or two passes. Like, but by and large, just an awesome football game. I expect we get a CBS press release at some point that talks about how good the ratings were.
Oh, my gosh. Be 50 million people have watched that game. Will Brinson joining us as he does every Monday. All right, let's
be nice. I got a contract coming up.
There you go.
It's line the pockets, baby.
Let's talk about the other number one seed. Is it fair to say that for at least three quarters, maybe more, Green Bay was better than San Francisco?
Sure.
Didn't get quite enough out of that. I mean, they got enough. They should have won the game. But Jordan Love made two mistakes in the fourth quarter. The first gave San Francisco hope, and the second one ended the game.
Yeah. I think I look at this game and look at similar to the Baltimore game where maybe just a good reminder that, you know, when you sit out week 18 and then have a bye week, yep, it's awesome because you get to rest everybody and you're healthy. But very clearly, like, both the Ravens and the 49ers came out a little rusty. San Francisco got Green Bay's best shot. Jordan Love played awesome.
He did. Until the fourth.
Yeah, until the fourth. I mean, you know, threw two picks, but 21 of 34, 194, two touchdowns. Aaron Jones has been running the ball great down the stretch. Green Bay could have easily won that game. The Lions would be hosting the NFC Championship game, which, good God.
Can you imagine Green Bay? Like, I joked before, the NFC North could be the best division in football next year.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, my takeaway from the 49ers-Packers game is that Green Bay is going to be ahead.
Green Bay's the youngest roster in football by a significant margin.
How do you stop that receiving core?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Their average age is like 17.
I mean, they're all first. Aren't they all first or second year receivers with Jordan Love?
I mean, yeah. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, the Melton kid from Ole Miss.
Yeah, the kid from UVA. I mean,
Musgrave, Christian Watson.
And they can
Watson, maybe third. No, Watson second year because he was a rookie last year with Tucker Kraft.
They are incredibly talented.
It's hilarious that they went out and spent all that draft capital on these young receivers who are going to blossom next year, like with Rodgers.
It's Aaron Rodgers. Bless him with the Jets. It's pretty clear that Green Bay knew what they were doing when they drafted Jordan Love. You're taking a chance. But they saw a lot. I mean, honestly, when you watch him, he looks a lot like Aaron Rodgers when he plays. He does a lot.
Yeah, looks a lot like Favre Rodgers. Yeah, it's insane.
He really does.
I mean, if you're a Packers fan,
you feel good.
Yeah, I guess. Like, you don't. I mean, yeah, of course you're feeling good, but it's also like, dude, you're not someone who's lived the life of a football fan. You just had a quarterback your entire life. Like, that's not what rooting for a football team is like. You're supposed to be, I mean, at least not according to what I've dealt with.
They
had supposed to be pain and suffering.
They did have to live with Dan Majkowski. They had to live with Dan Majkowski for a couple of years. Magic man. He wasn't terrible. But man,
and NC State did have Philip Rivers, Mike Lennon, and Russell Wilson. So
there you go.
Kirby Brissett, Ryan Finley.
All right. So, let's get to these two games. To me, Baltimore, once the halftime rolled around, Baltimore just squashed Houston. They were dominant in the second half.
44 passing yards for CJ Stroud in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was good.
That's pretty hard to do when you're down 24 points, man. Yeah. Like,
that's how good Baltimore was, though. We have to give them credit for that. Baltimore now will host Kansas City. Somehow, I think that the pressure just gets higher on the Ravens. Like, it's not a relax. We won a playoff game.
Everybody wants to do that. I don't understand. Lamar's awesome.
He was awesome. He was tremendous.
He talked about it before the game. He's like, look, I understand this. Everyone's talking about it. I'm 1-3 in the playoffs. Everybody keeps bringing it up and keeps mentioning it. I get it. He goes 16-22, 152, 2 touchdowns, no picks, rushes for 100 yards and 11 carries for two more touchdowns. I don't think that it's not fair to ascribe additional pressure to Lamar. Like, all right, Lamar's got now. That's moving the goalpost. If we're saying now Lamar, all right, now Lamar's got to beat the Chiefs or else he's a playoff loser. Like he has won. He's performed the way he had to perform in a playoff game. Of course, it's the AFC Championship game. It's a huge game. Mm-hmm. I don't view it as he's got to win or else we question this. I do view it, though, as, man, I mean, Mahomes is going in there. That's never great when you got a host Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Certainly. Yeah, I've been saying for weeks. I know I've been saying for weeks. What if the Chiefs flip the switch on offense and they're just good in the playoffs? And, well, lo and behold, here they are.
I'm still not buying it. I think Baltimore will win the game. Because I think Baltimore's defense will not allow a two-receiver team to beat them.
Baltimore sat all their players in Week 18 and still finished in the top five all-time in historical DVOA for the season. Like, this is potentially a – like, if the Ravens could win the Super Bowl and the one seed, so, I mean, like, it wouldn't be that shocking. But, I mean, like, it really shouldn't be surprising that the Ravens are really good. I'm a little surprised that the Ravens are favored by 3 here. I haven't seen if it's moved up. It was -3, -122 when I went to bed. So, yeah, still -3. I think that what's interesting about that is I would expect that everybody's betting the Chiefs there.
I don't know. I like the Ravens. I just think you pick a winner. Don't worry about covering the spread. Pick a winner. I like the Ravens to win that game. How do you look at San Francisco and Detroit?
Detroit's catching 6.5. Was 7 last night. Juiced up 6.5 for San Francisco. Feels like a bit much. Here's the thing about Detroit. They're going to be heavy dog. They're a heavy underdog this week. 7 points almost. Full touchdown. They're going to be a heavy underdog in the Super Bowl if they beat the 49ers. Even if they beat the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
They will be a big dog to the Chiefs or the Ravens. But there is one factor for the Lions that goes in their favor in terms of changing... in terms of like being making them live to be a to upset somebody.
Okay.
And that's Dan Campbell. Because Dan Campbell on 4th-and-3 from his own 20 will go for it. And Dan Campbell will go for it from, you know, like he's gonna kick field. Like he kicked a field goal early yesterday. I think it was like 4th-and-9, maybe, okay. Like the 5 or something like that. I mean, like he's gonna kick the field goal in the spots, but like if you get a game or two games in this small sample size with these high variance, aggressive moves by Dan Campbell, AKA PC Principal, where he's rolling the dice and going for it on 4th down and picking those up and converting those at a high rate just because like they have great play calls in or the defense isn't ready for them or they just get, you know, get a little, like the variance swings wildly their way, they can beat anybody. So, you know, the secondary is a big problem for the Lions. I think that game probably a shootout, total 51. I don't think the Lions will go quietly here. I like Detroit to potentially play the role of spoiler.
To win the game, would you take them outright on the money line, Will Brinson?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, there you go. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator, my friend. We just sorted the Saturday and Sunday pile together. Blast from the past. I'll talk to you on Monday, my friend.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
You got it. Will Brinson here on the Adam Gold Show.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.